Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back. We are shockingly on time.
Yeah. This whole break, I just was watching Avalanche videos, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything to report?
It's terrifying. It seems to be as scary as humanly possible. I was reading through some accounts of people that survived them, and that's one of those things like you wonder, like, oh, is it really that bad? No, it is.
Why? Yeah,
it's about the most terrifying thing. One guy was describing it as he said the sound he heard, he was backcountry skiing, and he said it just sounded like the world was ending behind me. And he was trying to not look back.
Did he look back, though?
Well, he saw it. He saw
so
it come
down. He knew
down,
it was coming.
And he knew he had to get out of the line of it.
Oh,
and so
man.
He was trying to head for the trees.
Oh,
and so he
man.
Was skiing, and he described it as, it just sounded like the end of the world behind me, and I was doing everything I could to not look back at it because he knew that, you know, it wasn't going to help him. He just knew he had to ski as fast as humanly possible.
Well, he obviously lived. Did he...
No, he got caught.
He outrun it to the side?
No, he ended up getting caught in it, but he had one of the beacons and, the radio and all that. And so they were able to dig him out, but he talked about it. He said he was trapped in there for, it was like 3 or 4 hours before they were able to come get him.
But he had a beacon. So
he had a beacon and he got busted up pretty bad. And I just Googled Avalanche and I had all these videos and this was just one account that was in Outdoor Magazine and it was just a collection of stories about people talking about their experiences with avalanches. And none of them are like, you know what? Was as bad as I thought.
Yeah, overrated.
I'll do it again on the weekend.
Right, man. Now I've got top 5 avalanches caught on video on YouTube.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you get caught up into it and you're just like, let's
What's
do
number
this.
One?
I'm only on number 5.
Oh.
Would you like me to skip ahead for you and
Nah, that's all right.
Ruin the rest of the video for me?
Yeah, some of that stuff though. It's just
By the way, avalanche warning up on Mount Hood.
Yes, be careful. Like, I'm not against being up on the mountain, but it seems like there's
a lot of trouble up there.
Well,
just like out on the open ocean, man.
But at least with the ocean, I feel like, well, I guess it's the same thing. It's a whole process to get there. If I lived like right on the mountain, like I got a buddy of mine who's got a place in Vail, and he says to get from his, he keeps like a ski locker there. And so he says to get from his door to where he is putting on his equipment and skiing, he said it's about a 10-minute process. And I'm like, well, that makes sense, right? You live in Vail, like go ski. But to ski here in Portland, that's not one of those things that you can just do in an hour.
It's not, but you know, it's okay. So I have a little different perspective because I grew up in the middle of Kansas.
Yes.
And skiing for me was like a 8-hour drive.
Yeah.
Right. For the weekend to go to Denver and then up into the Rockies. So for me, being in Oregon, or I guess the same would be up in Washington, you're actually really close. Like, it's not that, I mean, you're only, what is it, an hour and 15, maybe an hour and a half with some weather and stuff.
Yeah, if you're dealing with the weather and all that.
To get up there. And if you got your own equipment, dude, you're rocking. I mean, that's pretty good, man. Like, you can't do that in a lot of places. Unless you, like, you know, like your buddy lives in Vail,
yeah,
of course. But
just feels like it's a, I don't know, I'm a convenience man. Like, what if golf?
It's just inconvenient enough.
Exactly.
I think is what
you're
saying.
Do you like to golf?
It's kind of like the coast. The coast is, you know, hour, 15, hour and a half.
Yeah, it's there. But
it's just far enough away that
it could be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you don't go there as much.
Like, you love to golf.
Yes.
And during the nice weather
love
months.
Love golf.
You golf what, 3 times a week?
During what?
During the nice, the golfing season.
You know.
Twice?
Twice.
Okay. Golf. Golf. Let me ask you this. I put the only golf course an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. How often are you golfing?
With my current job, I can only golf on weekends.
And how many of those weekends would you really?
Every weekend.
Would you?
Well, yeah, maybe see, not. Maybe
there's
not.
One of those you'd wake up and be like, God, I want to go, but it's an hour and a half up and it's an hour and a half back.
It wouldn't be every weekend.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. I felt like if I lived on a mountain or like right on a beach, I would surf and I would ski. Both of those things seem really, really fun. And when I've tried them, I've enjoyed them both. But they're both just far enough to be a pain in my ass where I'm like, eh, I'm good. I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Surfing seems like a pain in the butt unless you can walk to the surf with your board from your cottage, bro.
So whenever I go anywhere on vacation,
in your wetsuit,
it's always fun. And I'm never any good because I don't get to do it that often. But I can get up on the board. And that's always fun to go do. But you're always staying in a place where you can take the surfboard, walk out, and you're there at the water. As opposed to, again, driving to the coast, putting on a wetsuit, and dealing with all that.
I've got family that lives not far from Mission Beach in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, a mile, 2 miles. We've run from their house down to the beach before.
Shirtless, I'm assuming.
Of course.
Yeah. The golden god that is Ice Grob.
And then I've
glistening.
Got
chest hair out for everyone to see.
And then I got some buddies in LA who don't live near the beach, but it's closer than us.
One would think.
And a few other people who are near back east, even. There's some people that are fairly close.
Wait, there's a beach back east? I've never heard of this.
And all of them say that they never go nearly as much as you think you're going to go.
Yeah.
And they live right there.
Yeah, close enough.
They're never, my brother, all he has to do is throw his surfboard in the back because he's got an SUV, he can throw it in the back, and he is down there in 5 minutes.
And still not doing it that
And he often. Never does it. Of course, they have two little kids, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
They're labor intense activities.
It's
got to
be super, super convenient.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. And I tend to agree with that.
By the way, the number one avalanche caught on video, I just got to it. Mount Everest, there was a 7.2 magnitude earthquake, and it got to the base camp of Mount Everest. And there's a video from the base camp of all the people there just trying to duck under or in their tents, and it just the snow just basically collapsing on them.
Kill them all?
No, it doesn't say. It seems like there's people alive, but there's also a search team. So.
That was very, like, you don't know what happened. Yeah, Why don't you just say you don't know what happened?
I don't know. It seems like there's some people alive on the video, but there's also a search team.
All right. Well, that's scary. I want to go watch that. I mean, why do I want to watch that? I don't want to watch that.
Look, during the break,
nature's cool.
I was watching avalanche videos, and I'll tell you what, they will rope you in.
They're definitely a sight. All right, coming up in the club tonight, 6 to 7. we'll talk about Dolly Parton's boobs.
Yeah, yeah. I got, can I talk about just hot old ladies in general on the Grammys?
Sure. Yeah. Your show too, buddy.
Diana Ross.
Yeah, Diana Ross is great.
She's looking pretty solid. 70. She was 75.
What else?
No idea how old Dolly Parton is.
We have Animal. I think she's like 73, 74.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Animal Uprising news, Pablo's hippos.
Yeah.
Got to talk about that story.
The Animal Uprising, the zombie story, that one's freaky.
Yeah, so we've got all that stuff in the club there, folks. Six to seven.
I've got more Dairy Queen news for you, too.
Are you now looking for stories of mischief at Dairy Queen just to try to prove your point?
Just saying, happened again.
Because
in case you were wondering, happened again.
For every one of those, I can find one at McDonald's or Burger King.
But you haven't brought one, have you?
Well, I'm not looking for that
And
crap.
Now that's two from Dairy Queen.
You know what? F you. I'm going to start looking for it.
If we research Sue's story, is it going to be from like 2013?
He just Googled Dairy Queen murders.
It's going to be my next film project, the Dairy Queen murders.
You just have to be right. You just always have to be right.
The news comes.
Can't you just let it go?
The news
man?
Comes to me, Rob.
Blip, blip, blip.
Just head to the Dairy Queen, see what happens.
This hour, football is back. We've got Kyler Murray making his choice and Kareem Hunt to the Browns, which we'll get to all of those topics. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
It's getting a little exciting in here, and it's not these wasabi nuts.
Do we not know how that's working?
Enjoying my delicious nuts.
Number five.
Okay, where do we begin tonight on the Hot 5?
The guy dealing meth out of the Dairy Queen?
Pretty much a foregone conclusion, but when it's Phil Mickelson, you never know. Lefty came out this morning and wrapped up his fifth Pebble Beach Pro-Am title. Final two holes were cut short due to darkness last night. He's 48, that Phil, which makes him the fifth oldest to win a PGA Tour event since the year 2000. The oldest ever to win a tournament was Sam Snead, who won in 1965 at the age of 52.
The oldest to win a major. So Phil, you mentioned the U.S. Open is going to be at Pebble Beach, and Phil plays really well there. And this may be his last shot. The oldest to win a major was 48 years old.
Jack?
No.
He was 48?
Jack was 46.
Wait, who won a major at 48?
Julius Boros, the 1968 PGA Championship. He was 48. Huh.
Wow.
And then, literally, they call him Old Tom Morris. He won the 1867 British Open at 46 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Then Jack.
Everybody knows about Old Tom Morris.
Old Tom Number Morris. Four. Although Tom Watson came close. Remember, he lost in a playoff.
Yes.
And he was Open. He was 59.
He gacked a putt. He would have won it.
Yeah.
Blazers were 33-0 this season when entering the fourth quarter with a lead. Until yesterday, they were up 15 in Dallas. And they went ice cold and lost to the Mavericks. No rest for the weary. They're about to get underway in Oklahoma City tonight. The Thunder and Paul George are red hot. They've won 9 of 10. The Blazers, trouble on the road, 10 and 14, and 9 of the next 10 are away from the Moda Center.
Yeah, and the only home game is against Golden State, so have fun with that, which is why that Dallas loss was such a, you know, that one is going to kick right in the, you know, where it counts.
The
right,
balls, I think
right
is what
the
you're,
old balls.
But we'll see how they respond tonight. The NBA did come out and say that Damian Lillard was fouled not once but twice on the last possession there.
By the way, Oklahoma City has won 9 of 10, and Russell Westbrook is averaging a triple-double for the third straight season.
Nick Stauskas traded 3 times last week, but ultimately he was waived by the Pacers. Today he signs with the Cavaliers. Also, guard Jeremy Lin has been bought out in Atlanta, and he is set to sign in Toronto. Duke investigating allegations of sexual assault by a member of the basketball team.
Oh, no.
From the year 2000.
Oh, well, I was like, what? That, 2000.
Now get this. Okay, so the accuser is Meredith Watson, and she is also the woman accusing Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax of sexual assault.
Now there's two people, to be fair, they're accusing him of sexual assault.
That is true. She is the second one. Now, she says while attending Duke, she claims she was raped by a member of the Duke basketball team, and she told Fairfax about it. She maintains that she's coming out now because Fairfax chose to reveal that she had been raped prior to their encounter in the last news cycle. So because he put it out there, she is just confirming, yes, I was raped, and it was by a member of the basketball team. So she said she took the complaint to the dean of the university, who discouraged her from pursuing it any further, which is stunning.
That seems like at this point it's par for the course.
And Coach K says this is the first he's heard of it, and the university is investigating blah, blah, blah. They did not name the player. Nobody knows who the player is. Stud 4-star wide receiver Puka Nakua.
Not gonna play for USC.
Gonna play for Oregon.
I did see though that Oregon's at least okay. Someone on one of the USC accounts, one of the recruiting sites, said this was the final nail in the USC recruiting coffin.
He is the number one recruit out of Utah. He's a top 10 wide receiver in the class. He originally committed to USC but backed off. This morning, he made his decision. He says no to BYU, no to Utah, no to UCLA, no to Oregon. He is going to Washington to be a Husky.
And, you know, obviously this would have been a big get for Oregon, but I guess they had such a strong class at receiver.
Don't need him.
This would have been more of a cherry on top.
Don't need him.
Fake news.
Don't need him. We're so good. Also, Eastern Washington. What are we on? Was that number 2?
Yes, that was number 2.
Did you say Eastern Washington was in on this?
No, Eastern Washington grad transfer. He's a quarterback. His name is Gage
number
Let's
one.
Let's go with Jabrood.
Sure.
Jabro.
Gabe Jabro. Gage Jabro. Gage Sign Jabro. Me up.
He was originally denied a sixth year of eligibility in college football. However, for whatever reason, he won his appeal, and he's going to be eligible right away. Why am I telling you this? Because he's pretty damn good, and he's going to Washington State. And he will be in the mix to replace Gardner Minshew.
Hey, don't mess with the Jabro. Don't do it.
A story came out this morning. The Oakland A's didn't know if Kyler Murray would be reporting to spring training this Friday. Well, he has since come out with a statement saying he is 100% committed to the NFL.
Yeah, he released a statement there, and, you know, it's real quick. It says, moving forward, I am firmly, fully committed my life and my time to become an NFL quarterback. Football has been my love, my passion, my entire life. Blah, blah, blah. He's going to be football full time. Not sure what this means. I'm assuming he has to give back all, if not, you know, of the signing bonus.
Well, he hasn't gotten it all, so he's going to have to pay the A's back $1.29 million of the $1.5 million that they've already given him as a signing bonus. But he also forfeits the other $3.16 million, which was due to him on March 1st. As for the A's, they do retain his rights, but they don't get a compensatory pick. So this is a risk they knew they were taking. Yep. He's chosen football. One other NFL note, Brown signed former Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt. Cleveland, the GM there, John Dorsey, drafted Hunt during his tenure in Kansas City. They say he deserves a second chance.
Well, of course, because he's really good at football. Oh, and by the way, the Kyler Murray thing, if he's a top 10 pick, and most people think he will be, he stands to get fully guaranteed somewhere in the neighborhood $20 to probably $28 million, depending on where he goes. So at least initially up front. And by all accounts, he's going to be a top 10 pick. I've seen some people have him going like Mel Kiper, like type people have him going as the number one overall player to Arizona, even with having drafted Josh Rosen. So from a financial standpoint, at least in the short term, this is a much better deal for Kyler Murray to be a first round NFL quarterback than it is to take the, whatever it was, the $4 million from the A's.
We will play Mel Kiper's thoughts on Kyler Murray in the NFL draft coming up next. If you want to stick around for that, the Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Yes, let's talk about Kyler Murray. And what this means, how good will he be? Smart decision. And then that Kareem Hunt to the Browns next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, so Washington won that battle over Oregon, USC, BYU. For that Utah wide receiver, Puka, something or other.
Yeah. Nakua, I think it is.
Nakua. Yeah. I saw the odds for the college football championship for next year are out, and Oregon and Washington have the exact same odds. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I know for a while there, Washington was the favorite in the Pac-12 with the best odds, but after Oregon's recruiting class, I'm assuming that gets bumped up. But yeah, and I think Oregon has like 19 or 20 starters coming back, including Justin Herbert.
They are both 30-1 with Florida, Nebraska, and Notre Dame.
To win it or to make it?
To win it.
To win it.
To win the whole damn thing. The odds-on favorite, this is going to shock you, Clemson.
Clemson, and I'm guessing Alabama.
Yes.
Probably number two.
Clemson 2-1, Alabama 2.5-1, followed by Georgia and Ohio State at 8-1.
Well, I'll say this. I think Washington, I need to look at Washington's schedule because Oregon's is a little bit tougher. Obviously, than it was last year. They start off with Auburn, and I think that's at Jerry's World. So it's not as bad as having to go down and play him in Georgia, which is where Washington played him at the start of the year. So I'll have to look at Washington's schedule and see what they have. But from an overall talent standpoint, I mean, you can make the argument that over the last couple of years, Washington's roster is better overall than Oregon's is. But Washington loses a ton off defense. They basically lose their entire defensive starting unit. And you're bringing back Justin Herbert, who will be a seasoned vet at quarterback. Whereas Washington, even though it's probably going to be the Eason kid, who was a five-star guy, you know, you're still breaking in an all-new quarterback. So I think there's reasons to like both Oregon and Washington. I think coaching-wise, obviously, I think the two, there's a little more confidence in Chris Peterson. But these should be the two teams slugging it out in the North. And it just depends on where you want to lean, where you give the advantage. Do you go with experience or do you go with coaching in a program that maybe has been a little better over the last couple of years?
All right, so Kyler Murray has finally announced what he's going to do. The A's, up until today, didn't really know if he was going to show up for spring training. Now, he had several options. He could have still gone to A's spring training and then left and gone to the combine. He could also have just gone to the combine and then later showed up for minor league camp, which doesn't start till March for baseball.
But in reality, if you're going to play football at that position, you can't. You can't half that. You can't three quarters ass that. You can't nine tenths ass being a quarterback in the NFL. This isn't.
Did you just drop a nine tenths ass on me?
Yes, you can't do it.
God, that's top shelf.
You just there is. That is the toughest position in all of sports to play, and Kyler Murray is going to have a huge adjustment period to go from college. And by the way, he hasn't played that much college football. Right, he was a washout at A&M. He basically was a one-year player at Oklahoma. There is such going to be a learning curve for him in the NFL wherever he lands. You just can't split your time. I just don't understand why there was this weird dance. Like when he went to the Super Bowl, he knew damn well at that point that he was going to play in the NFL.
You would think, but maybe he didn't. Maybe he was still weighing his options.
It's possible.
That would explain all the weirdness around the Dan Patrick interview, you know, where yeah. he wouldn't answer any questions.
Well, and you're starting to get, and like, I don't know if this is fair or not, but kind of doing some reading about the way it went down at A&M and some of the vocal, what do they call it? Like criticisms that someone in his staff took at the part of Kyler Murray's parents, namely his dad, and then the whole weird interview thing. In the Dan Patrick, where his dad was on set and people thought maybe that was his dad's influence and his dad is his quarterback's coach.
Oh, geez.
There is a lot of people, and again, just speculation, that are going the heavy-handed sports dad, and that, you know, is a concern to some people because we know at times that doesn't always work out the best when you have a parent that is maybe too involved.
Hmm. Well, here's Mel Kiper talking about Kyler Murray, who... Well, he could go number one in the draft.
That's the thing, Wendy. Now we know he's fully committed. He's all in. He can't be a part-time quarterback in the NFL like defensive backs and running backs have been in the past. So now the NFL, go to the combine. It's not about throwing. We know he's got a great arm. We know he can run as fast as anybody. It's not about a 40 time. It's about the height, Wendy. Is he 5'9", 5'9 and a half, 5'10"? How teams assess that. How he looks physically in terms of his frame and his body type. And then the interview session is going to be critical. And that always is the most critical part of the evaluation process at the combine, is those one-on-one interviews with those NFL teams. And teams at 4 with Oakland, think about it, Giants at 6, Jacksonville at 7, Denver at 10, Miami at 13, could all be thinking quarterback. And it's Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State, and it's Kyler Murray, Oklahoma, as your two top QBs in this draft.
And Mel, I believe in your current mock draft, you have Murray at 13 to the Miami Dolphins. Why is that?
Well, because at that time, this was about a month ago, Wendy, and I'll update this coming Monday, a week from today, mock number 2.0 comes out. Todd did his last week, had him going there, Murray to 13 to Miami as well. I think the height issue is going to be something teams are going to have to debate. This will be the first time ever, Wendy, a franchise quarterback at 5'9", 5'10", is going to go this high. Russell Wilson at 5'10 and 3/4 went in the third round. So I think this is groundbreaking. This is something nobody's ever done. So a GM that does this, Wendy, will do something new and completely new to the NFL.
So the top pick is Arizona. And I think he could go there because I don't think it was any coincidence when he chose to jump into the NFL draft pool. It was the day after Cliff Kingsbury got the Arizona job.
And Kingsbury has been on record saying that if he was an NFL head coach, that he would take Murray number one overall. I know they took Rosen at number 10 last year, but Rosen did not have the most impressive debut. And it's obviously a new coach, and so there are some people that think that they'd either be willing to just eat that because under the new salary cap structure, it's not as if Rosen's deal is like a killer, you know, with rookie contracts, or they may be able to move that and try to get something back, probably not a number one for Rosen at this point, and then just start fresh with Kyler Murray.
You know what they could probably get back is a nine-tenths ass pick. What do you think about that?
I don't know if you could get back a nine-tenths ass pick.
Because you're not getting 10 out of 10.
No, you're not getting 10 out of 10. Nine-tenths ass. Seven-tenths ass at the most for Josh Rosen.
Well, so you got Arizona 1. Then you've got, looking at teams just, you know, could use a quarterback or may draft a quarterback. Raiders are at 4. A lot of people look at that and go, maybe the Raiders switch gears.
But they've got Carr. I mean,
they do.
And
they
signed Carr to a significant deal.
It doesn't seem like a Gruden type of move, but maybe. The Bucs are fifth, Giants sixth, Jags seventh, and Broncos 10th. And then, of course, they were talking on there about, you know, maybe he drops to 13 in Miami.
Well, it's interesting because the Bucs, they have Jameis Winston. And are they committed to Winston at this point? I mean, there are a lot of options, obviously. And then you look at the Jets at number three. The Jets clearly aren't going to draft him, but does someone else move up to number three? I'm sure the Jets would be more than happy.
Who's two?
San Francisco.
Oh, that's right.
So in theory, Arizona doesn't need one. San Francisco doesn't need one. The Jets don't need one. The Raiders don't need one. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. But that doesn't mean that A, the Cardinals or someone else wouldn't, you know, maybe the Raiders, but probably not, that the Cardinals couldn't take a none overall, but more importantly, that someone wouldn't jump up to trade with one of those teams to move back in order to grab him if he really is the guy.
What do you think about him? You think he'll do well?
I don't love it.
Too small?
I think he's too small, and he hasn't played a lot of ball. And I just... it's a very small sample size, and not that he can't play and run around and make a lot of big time throws, but that I just think we're trying to shoehorn him into the new Patrick Mahomes model, and I just don't buy it. I think he's small. I think he's going to get beat up, and I think a lot of the improvised plays where he runs around a la Johnny Manziel just don't work. And you look at a lot of when people try to pick him apart, it's a lot of that pre-snap recognition type stuff. And some of that is just that he hasn't played a lot of football. So I think it's a huge learning curve, and I think it's a huge risk. So I don't particularly love it. The only thing is there's not a lot of quarterbacks in this year's draft.
You like Haskins?
I think Haskins, to me, is the safer pick. When you saw what he did at Ohio State, he, to me, looked like more of the prototypical NFL quarterback. I think he's a much safer pick. So to me, if you ask me to roll the dice and I'm going to bet my franchise, and it's also difficult because you're not studying the all 22. You're not interviewing these guys just off of the eye test of having watched Murray and Haskins both play. Unlike Stephen A. Smith, I've seen them both play multiple times. To me, if you ask me to make a franchise pick, I would rather roll the dice with Haskins than I would with Murray.
But equally risky?
No, I think Haskins is a much safer pick than Murray.
Well, MLB can't like this. They did everything they could to try to get him to go to Oakland.
Yes.
Because
they wanted a star to pick baseball over football.
Well, exactly. But they allowed, and it was important for them to get the optics of that and get this high-level athlete into their game and not football and have them choose baseball over football. But they changed the rules. I mean, they basically just said the A's can sign him to a major league contract right away, which you're not allowed to do. But they said, yeah, for this kid, you can, just to try to incentivize him to play baseball. But it's really a no-brainer because, I mean, just the minor leagues and, you know, baseball, there's this thought that he's like this all-world baseball player because he was a top 10 draft pick. He's really not. He hasn't had a lot of at-bats.
Nope.
And if you go look at his stats on the levels that he has played, he hasn't been that great. The A's just drafted him. They knew the risk they were taking because he's an amazing athlete with a ton of upside. But it's not as if he's a can't-miss baseball prospect. As a matter of fact, a lot of the baseball guru guys
think he's overrated.
Well, they say that he is not a top 100 prospect in baseball, and he's a top, you know, 15 prospect in the NFL. So it's really, and the money that he will make in the NFL, and it's right away. The only drawback is just, you know, what football does to your body. But I think, you know, $30 million may kind of ease that blow.
Well, and they even said it, like if he's a top 10 pick, right, that's somewhere between 21 and 30 million guaranteed. Those will be fully guaranteed dollars when you're a top 10 pick. And even if he's not a huge success, that fifth year contract will be a huge bump. That fifth year, if someone picks up on him, will be in the 20 plus million dollar range. And then after that, even if you're a backup, you're still checking in at a couple million bucks. So from a financial standpoint, the only way this doesn't make any sense is if you become, you know, Mookie Betts, right? And you're signing $250 million deals. But how many of those go through baseball? And then also, you hear this one about why people always choose football over baseball. When you're a rookie, you're traveling with the team, first class, right? All that stuff. When you're in the minor leagues, those are long-ass bus rides, crappy hotels. It is not a glamorous life. So it just really, unless you just are so confident that you are going to go on and be a world-class, phenomenal baseball player, there just really isn't much of a choice.
No, there isn't. That's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. I don't think they can, you know, MLB can do much about that. The A's got to feel, I mean, man, I don't really understand the whole draft process with the A's and, you know, why. So Murray has to pay them back most of the bonus that they've already paid him, and then yeah. He's just not going to get the other $3 million that they were supposed to give him on March 1. But I don't really understand the whole thing of why the A's retain his rights but don't get a compensatory pick because he didn't choose baseball. I have no idea how all that crap works. But the A's are basically out of pick.
Yeah, a top 10 pick.
Yeah, a top 10. That's a huge, I mean, it was a huge risk on their part. I think they probably would tell you they didn't see him going and playing football.
Well,
thought he was too small.
Now, to be fair, before he was a backup. Like, he had not done jack squat in college football.
I know, and then they let him play a year at A&M, and he wins the freaking, or at Oklahoma, and he wins the freaking Heisman.
And this is the other reason why it scares me a little bit. With him, one, the size and just kind of the style that he plays, although he's got a really good arm. How many times have we seen one-hit wonders in college football flame out? And I know it's not his fault. Didn't work out at A&M, and he had to sit behind, a Heisman Trophy winner in Baker Mayfield. But one-hit wonders in college football scare the living daylights out of me when it comes to projecting into the NFL, especially when you're talking about a prospect that really would buck every size metric trend that his position has in the NFL history.
Last thing on him. Do you think there's a chance he could still dabble in baseball down the road?
No.
Not because he's because he's a quarterback, which is just too much. There's just too much. It's too labor intensive.
Yes.
But two, if he doesn't have that great of an NFL career, he could switch gears.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that. Like if he washes out in, let's say, 4 years,
if
right?
If he becomes a backup, he can go to the A's.
Yeah. But I would assume that even as a backup in the NFL, you're still making good money.
Well, right, but it just depends on what he wants to do. You know, I mean, in other words, the option is still there for him, whereas it wouldn't. The NFL option is never there if he passes it up right now.
Yeah. Valid point.
I mean, if he wants to play football,
this
it's
is
now.
It. Yes, you're not going to get a chance to come
if
back.
If he wants
and do
to play
it.
Baseball, he's got a chance down the road that maybe he could.
Valid point.
All right, coming up next, the Browns signed Kareem Hunt. Oh, the outrage. Here is Michael.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, do you have outrage that the Browns signed Kareem Hunt today?
No, because I knew he was going to play again. I mean, look.
Is there outrage about this, or have we just kind of moved on to
Well, I think there should.
Accepting that
I would like it if he didn't play, but we all know that he's good. And look, you can be an a-hole, and you can be a wife beater, and you can be a criminal. Look, we've had players that have Leonard Little and who was the receiver? Was it Stallworth?
Yeah, Dante Stallworth.
They both killed a person.
Don't forget about Ray Lewis.
Yeah, well, you know, he had his bloody suit thing, and some people think that he was involved in a murder, and all those guys were allowed to come back and play. Look, Ray Rice isn't playing because Ray Rice isn't good anymore. The outrage of it was just too much. Greg Hardy's case was way worse than Ray Rice's, and he got a shot. It's just that he blew it and was such a huge a-hole with the Cowboys. Then someone was like, all right, enough's enough. Please go away. Something would have told me, though, had he not done the UFC thing, that someone would have given him another shot. So it's all about what you can do to help a team win. Unless you kneel for whatever reason, then we will never give you another shot. To hell with you, Colin Kaepernick. So none of this is surprising.
Yeah,
to me.
Mike Freeman pointed that out on Twitter. He said, you know, this guy, Kareem Hunt, is on video.
Losing it, just freaking out.
Punching and kicking and shoving a woman. And he just got another NFL contract. But my God, if he had knelt for the anthem.
Don't do that.
You get blackballed. Yeah. Never work again. It's crazy. But I just don't feel like, I feel like maybe we've been worn down to the point where it doesn't even, like with Greg Hardy, there was some backlash and people were like, how could this be? And like you said, Ray Rice, he just was old, so he didn't get another deal. But
No, it wasn't worth anyone. Now, someone was like, look, we're going to take a PR hit, and he's not good and can't help us win, so no.
I just feel like now it's just like, oh, Kareem Hunt got signed, and yeah. we don't even remember what he did.
Reuben Foster got signed, like, what, a week or something after the Niners cut him? I mean, I don't even know if he cleared waivers.
That's nine-tenths ass.
That is nine-tenths ass. That's some 7-9 BS.
Well, he's going to the Browns, and it's interesting that they sign him now because Hunt is going to be punished by the NFL. It's just a matter of how long, and that will be at the start of this upcoming season. So he could be out, you know, 4 games, 8 games, could be out of season. Yeah. I mean, we don't know.
No.
They're still investigating. So the Browns kind of took a chance there.
Well, domestic violence is supposed to be 8 games, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So he's going to be out for a while because there doesn't need to be much investigation. It's there on film.
But they're giving him, but they keep saying they're like, oh, they just started their investigation into it. And I guess there's all this nuance. Like, well, look, Hunt apparently has been to alcohol and anger management classes, and that matters to them. And so the NFL, you know, whatever it is that they do, they will do. And then he'll be punished. But then the Browns, at that point, he then becomes a restricted, he becomes a free agent next, this summer, but next summer.
Yeah.
So they may not get much of Kareem Hunt.
No.
Is the point.
Yeah. Whatever he's got to get through this year. And then, you know, if he has a rehab year and, you know, and plays well, someone will sign him to a decent contract. I mean, Tyreek Hill, who's one of the stars on that team, Tyreek Hill got booted from his college for domestic abuse. So, you know, and does anyone attach that to him? Look, if Kareem Hunt goes out and plays, and as long as he keeps his nose clean, this will all go away and no one will care anymore.
All right, we wrap up the weekend that was with the Alliance Football thing, Network?
Yeah.
America?
America, right? Alliance, something.
Whatever that is, the Alliance of American Football thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're speaking
about. That new hot league that everybody's talking about?
Yes.
We're going to wrap that up next, and we'll move on to the club. It's 5:45 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh. Yeah. Blazers are down 15. Hey, maybe they'll come back.
That's right. Well, so they had not blown a lead going into the fourth quarter all year, but they've also not come back from a fourth quarter deficit all year going into the fourth quarter. So they maybe the Dallas Mavericks was the first of the one, and now tonight will be the first going the other way. So maybe this is exactly where they want to be. Like my circular logic there?
I don't. I think it's 9-10 ass. And I think that they're now down 18, not 15. So.
That's right where they want them, Rob.
Hey, it is the NBA. You never know.
They were up by 15 going into the fourth quarter last night, lost. So they just need to trim this to about a 14 to 15 point deficit going into the fourth quarter, and they'll be fine.
What if they never win again? What if last night's loss killed them?
Forever.
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 The franchise will never win another game.
Wow.
That was it.
What is the longest losing? Mike, we want to do a little Google there, find out what the longest losing streak in the NBA is.
Ooh. Let's take a guess.
20? 25?
Yeah, I think it's in the 20s.
I would think. It can't be much worse than that.
Didn't the Sixers have one that was really, really bad?
During the process here?
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't
know. 17 or 18.
What about the Washington Generals? What losing streak are they on with the Globetrotters?
Theirs is like over 100, right?
I think theirs may be
fake.
Theirs may be into the thousands. And by the way, I looked up Oregon-Washington, the football schedules. Washington's much easier than Oregon's, by the way. So the Huskies, and these are going to be the two on favorite to win the Pac-12 and maybe get a shot in the college football playoff. Washington opens up with Eastern Washington, Cal, and Hawaii at home. And then they're on the road at BYU. Then they get USC at home.
Watch out for that BYU game.
No, you don't need to watch out for the BYU game. Have you seen BYU the last couple years?
I'm asking where the white power rankings go.
BYU's white power rankings are way down because, quite frankly, they suck.
Is your boy, what's his nuts?
Kalani?
Is he the coach
there
still?
Yeah, he's the coach. Look, he's just... They're not going to be relevant ever again. It's
ever.
Ever.
They and the Blazers never winning again.
They relevancy for BYU in football, unfortunately, is past. It's just the haves and the have nots, and they're a have not.
Playoffs.
They just don't have the money to compete. They can't recruit. It's
all right.
They're going to be average. And then you get USC at home. And then here's their two tough roads. They're at Stanford, at Arizona, back to back. That actually could be interesting. And then you get Oregon at home. Utah at home, and then on the road at Oregon State, Colorado, and then Washington State at home. That is a very favorable schedule for Washington.
Are we really already breaking down college football schedules?
I'm just saying, for the Washington-Oregon stuff, they have similar odds, the same odds, to win the whole thing. Washington has a much easier path, whereas Oregon is on the road against Auburn in a supposedly neutral location, at Stanford, at Washington, at USC, at Arizona State. It's a much tougher road.
Well, football returned to us this weekend. I don't know if you saw it, but it was...
I was busy looking at schedules, so...
Yeah, you're already on to college football. No rest for the weary. Sooks on it. The Alliance of American Football, we talked about it in our first-ish segment today, about 3:15, so if you want to go back and listen. But a couple of things that we didn't get to. One was Ross Tucker tweeting that he pointed out on social media that there was not one person or thread of people bitching about missing kickoffs or extra points.
No.
That watched that thing. And it's true. When you watch it, and I didn't watch a lot of it, but
I caught enough. I just kind of was flipping around.
I caught enough of it to notice, oh, yeah, they're not doing kick. And you do not miss it.
No, and I do think that the NFL is going to pay attention, if this league ends up sticking around, to little tweaks like this. Same thing with, like, the transparency in the replay booth. I know people were excited about that.
Yeah, well, what you're talking about is they had a mic on the replay official.
Yeah.
So she was up there dissecting the play, and you could hear her thought process and hear them communicating. That was awesome.
Yeah, and eventually she was like, you know, you could hear her talking through it and just saying, no, the ground helped him. No, you know what? I'm gonna allow this.
It was cool.
Yeah, and I think the NFL is going to be able to look at that and maybe use it as a platform to see something that they could implement in their own game.
Two other things. One, did you see what Mike Riley was wearing after his big win?
No.
You need to Google it.
Okay.
Social media.
What do I Google?
Well, Mike Riley after San Antonio win, I don't know.
Okay.
Back in the day now.
Look, he's 1-0. Okay, that's all that matters. Riley's going to dominate that league. And he slowed down Mike Martz's famed fleet offense.
The offensive, outside of Spurrier, I think they put up 40. That was some of the worst. For everyone saying that the product was good.
It wasn't bad.
The offensive football that played was so god-awful.
It wasn't bad. Look, you got to admit.
What were the combined numbers on the quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks, 55%, 3 touchdowns, 12 picks.
And one more time, what did you tell me that it wasn't bad?
No, I don't think it was bad. I think that when I watched it.
Did you watch Christian Hackenberg?
No, the quarterback play was. I'm just saying, in general, to watch that league, it was not as bad as I would have thought. Like, I was expecting really, really bad football. And
like 55% completion rated and then 3 touchdowns and 11 picks?
It really wasn't as bad as most of these leagues look. I mean, it really wasn't. I didn't think it was. And a lot of people agreed with me because apparently it's the hot new item on social media.
There was a really strong media push. They did a good job of capitalizing on it. They put it where it was easy to find. It is going to get harder because those games are going to get moved off CBS. And it did a good number. It got like a 2.4, 2.5 overnight rating.
Don't you think social media helps a league like that a ton?
Huge.
Because people were talking about it. Like, yes. You go back to the old XFL and some of these other leagues, they didn't have that community of people that are just, you know, that are watching it and commenting on it.
And I felt like there were a lot of analysts. I felt there was a lot of football guys that I follow on Twitter.
They were watching.
That were watching it and were really pushing it. What I'm going to be interested to see is there's only 8 teams. And will anyone feel like there's anything that you're playing for? Will that championship matter? Will a playoff matter? Will you form some sort of connection to a team? Because without that, in a month, this thing is going to be beyond irrelevant.
Did you see it yet? What Riley was wearing?
No,
he looked like, I'll see if I can pull it up for you. He looked like, well, he was kind of dressed like, how would I describe this? Like a gangbanger.
Really?
Yeah. He's getting some street.
What is Colorado Rockies?
I'm telling you gotta see it. It's great. He had a stocking cap on and he had like the flannel shirt with the buttoned up. Top buttoned and saggy, like big saggy jeans.
I'm desperately trying
freaking
to find
Mike Riley's street now, bro.
Oh my goodness.
I'm telling you.
I see it right there.
What do you think of that? Let's talk about that.
Was that intentional?
Well,
or was
of
that
course.
Like a
I don't think I mean, what do you mean? Of course he
So he's not putting on a bit here. This is like when Ryan Fitzpatrick wore Deshaun Jackson's clothing to the podium.
Back in the day now.
No.
Boy, I don't even
That's
know.
That's just his. Isn't that crazy?
I don't even know what to make of that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he held down Mike Martz's offense, putting the hip in hip, hip, hooray.
Back in the day now.
Look, this league is off to a good start.
Where have you guys been?
It got a lot of good press. The people watched it.
Whoa, Blazers only down 14.
See, they're right where they want them. And now it's up to them to see if they can capitalize and make people care. Can they form that connection?
Yeah,
or is
I don't
it just
think they
or
will.
Is it just a novelty? Because here's the crappy part. Look, I'm all for if this thing works. Who doesn't want more relevant football? But I just felt like there was a real strong push amongst the media to tell people that this was good. And I'm not certain that it was. And if you remember, the XFL, their initial week was huge. Big ratings. Sports Illustrated ran a cover story on it, how good it was. And a month later, it was completely irrelevant and was dead in the water. So I'll be interested to see a month from now what this looks like, if it still has the same sort of buzz and juice once people have let the novelty wear off, other sports come around, and to see if it can still have a foothold.
Well, I will say for myself, I don't really want more football. We've got a great product in the NFL. We've got college football, which has been awesome the last few years. We're set. We've got months and months and months and months of football. Why do we need another league?
Well, I think that most people think like you, Mike. I don't think there is a buzz. Social media, we've got to be careful about taking what is trending on social media or what everybody's talking about on social media and making it like equating it to how people are feeling. I think in general, a microcosm in some way of what people are saying about a certain topic or whatever. But I think in general, nobody cares about this league. Most casual sports fans aren't going to watch it. It's not anything other than maybe they can catch a few eyeballs and stick around if they make it accessible, like put it on network television where people will see it. And they have a betting app.
Yeah.
Where you can bet in game and it's football and there's no other football. I think they can get enough eyeballs to sustain it. They've got a lot of money behind it. There are some names in it. But I think in general, I would say the vast majority of our listeners and just sports fans around the country are like Mike and I on this, and we won't watch it, don't care about it. And there's nothing you can do to get us to watch it or care about it.
I literally have negative interest in it. I don't even want to put it on. I don't care.
I watched it because I was intrigued by it and it had a nice start. I just want to see if it can build upon it, right? This goes one of three.
The answer is no.
This goes one of three ways. Either stays flat and it's like this, but if you took this attendance and this this TV rating that it got, which was solid for a debut, I think the league would take that. But it's not going to stay flat, right? It's either going to grow or it's going to die on the vine. And that's where I said, let's revisit this in a month, and something tells me that it's going to die.
There is no way it's going to grow. I just don't think it's going to get ever as big as it was just this last weekend with that captive audience and everybody talking about it on social media. It's only going to go south. Now, the question is, will it go away or will it get, like I said, enough eyeballs because of where they place it, because there is no other football going on, because there are a few big names. If they get, put it on TV where people can find it, hell, there's a lot of stuff that gets a little bit of a rating on TV.
They can hang around.
I mean, they show freaking poker still on TV. So I think it can get some eyeballs, but I think in general, there's no way it's going to be big. There's no way it's going to be mainstream. There's no way you and I are going to be talking about it outside of this weekend. It's just not going
to
happen.
And it's got a year to build upon this, because if it's still around in a year, guess what's coming for it next? And that's the XFL. Now you've got two leagues fighting for the table scraps of the NFL. It's going to get more competitive. The thing they have going for them is they launch first.
All right, coming up next, we got to move on to the club. By the way, Christian Hackenberg's terrible. You know, he's worse than Nathan Peterman.
Yes.
But that's by virtue of never playing in the NFL. At least Peterman got a chance in the NFL. Hackenberg never played in the NFL. I mean, he was on an NFL team, but he never got to play, so we never got to see how bad he was.
There's like legendary stories about how bad he was at the Jets practices, and then we got a glimpse of him in the Alliance League, and
holy jeez,
was he awful.
All right, so underrated Americans. Let's start with Dolly Parton.
Yeah, damn right.
Coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.